Well, again, good morning. As I said to all of us before Mass, as we were warming up, I want to say a big word of welcome, not only to all of us today, but a special word of welcome to all of our guests and visitors. If today's your first day with us here at Christ Redeemer with our family, we want to say welcome. Great to have you with us today, especially if you're in town for vacation. If the summer has brought you to Thibodeau, and that's what brought you here to Mass today, I want to say welcome because summer is absolutely upon us. Kids are out of school. The heat is sky high. Hurricane season has officially begun, right? So we all know that summer is unfolding. And the question for us today is a question about life. And that question is, how do you feel about the summer? For some of us, the summer is a time when life slows down a little bit, right? Kids are out of school, or maybe vacation is just around the corner. And for those of us who find ourselves there, maybe the summer is a time when life slows down a little bit. But on the other hand, for some of us, the summer is actually maybe the busiest time of year because the kids are out of school and there's more traffic in the house. And with more traffic in the house, there's more to do in the house, to manage the house. And for some of us who are there, the summer is a time when life speeds up a little bit. Or perhaps for some of us, the summer is a time when it's hard for us to be where we are. In other words, summer has a play in it, you might say. And we all have a natural desire to rest and relax and enjoy life. And the playfulness of the summer can sometimes lure us into daydreaming or just not being where we are. So a good question for us to start with today is just us learn from life. And that is, how do you feel about the summer? Because regardless of what your experience has been, either this summer or in the past, and even regardless how you feel about this season, we can learn a lot about life if we just pay attention to life during the summer. For some of us, as the school year really just kind of sprints to a close and the mad dash of summer accelerates, a lot of families just discover how messy their house can be. Talking to a lot of families in preparation for this new series called Life Is, and just describing, like during the summer, you realize all the projects you didn't get to during the school year, and then the mad dash at the end of the school year, like the house can be messy. Or because the house can be messy because of the increased traffic of the kids who are home, right? So the summer is a time when you're out of routine and there's people in and out of the house. Or even with travel, with vacation travel, right? You're getting ready for the travel and that can disturb the rhythm of the house. You're coming back from vacation. That can disturb the rhythm of the house. But simply put, I think a lot of us perhaps can recognize that the summer is a time when our house, our homes, can be messy. Now again, we can learn a lot about life if we pay attention to life during the summer. Life is a lot of things. Life is busy, life is challenging, and for a lot of us, life is messy. Today we are introducing a new preaching series called Life Is. And the purpose of the series is to find God in the reality of our life, because I think that's what we all want, right? Don't most of us want to know God and know where God is and actually find God really present in the real aspects of our life? And so the first thing that we can learn about life is that life is messy. And a lot of us don't like messy. Few of us like messy, right? None of us like it when our homes are messy. And perhaps that's why many of us don't like the summer, because the summer can bring messy. The word itself, messy, for a lot of us, we react against it almost instinctively, and we push it away. Yet, every one of us here today understands that one of the things we all share in common is the fact that life is messy. My life is messy. Your life is messy. Life is messy. So the question is, why would we actually start a series about life by kind of celebrating and playing around with the fact that life is messy? And the reason is because there's not many things that we all share in common. And if one of the things that we all share in common is that life is messy, then one of the things we also share in common is how we respond to messy. Some of us pretend it doesn't exist. Some of us wish it would go away. And some of us, when it comes to messy, tend to hide our messy. Life is messy. And one of the things that happens, depending on how you feel about the fact that life is messy, is we hide. So let's talk about what hiding looks like. Each of us has our issues. We each have our struggles in life. Every marriage is a relationship of two people, both of whom are imperfect, both of whom have their own issues. Marriage is messy because people are messy. Spouses are messy. And husbands and wives can hide from each other in lots of different ways. Conversations may shut down when they reach a certain depth or when they hit that button, right? Whenever a certain particular topic comes up, conversations can shut down. And that's one of the ways that spouses hide from each other. Spouses might withhold details from their past, actually consciously keeping secrets from one another, hiding stuff about us. Spouses can hide in overwork. We can hide in demanding to be right so that we don't have to be vulnerable. We can hide through the kids, becoming so consumed with the success of our children that we don't have to face the messiness of our marriage. Right? So hiding is a part of the messiness of marriage. We can also hide from ourselves. You know, when it gets quiet in the moments in life when we're alone with our thoughts, a lot of us can hear the whispers inside our hearts accusing us of what's messy in our lives. So a lot of us can hide from ourselves. We can hide in overactivity or just being busy and never being quiet, never being alone with our thoughts so that we don't have to hear the whispers inside of us. We can hide through our phones. I think that's a huge one today. We can hide in our phones and social media and just the compulsive grasping at our apps or just the next thing that we have to know. We can hide through our image. We can hide by trying to convince the world of who we are and who we portray ourselves to be. We can hide behind how much money we make, how much stuff we have, what we want our bodies to look like, or who we want the world to think that we are. There's lots of ways that we can hide from ourselves. And we can also hide from God. If we are afraid of us in our mess, if we don't like who we are in our mess, then it would make sense that a lot of us could be afraid of God in our mess. So depending on your image of God, or maybe even your experience of God in the past, a lot of us can struggle in the midst of our messiness with God and finding God in the midst there. So life is a lot of things. We know that it's messy, and unless we know that it's messy, without even knowing why we're doing it, a lot of us can hide. Unless you didn't have to. Like, what if today God spoke to you about life, about messy, and about hiding? Would that be worth listening for? Would that be worth hanging in here for today? Today's first reading, God is speaking to us in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And he's speaking about Adam and Eve. He's talking about me and you, about all of us. And today's first reading from Genesis 3 is about how Adam hid from God because he's messy. So here's the story. Let's tell the story together. First, the story of the first three chapters of the Bible is the story of how God, who's pure love, creates the world and all that's in it. He creates the garden. He creates Adam. He creates Eve. And God gives them everything from his heart because he wants to give them a pure gift. God doesn't create because he has to. God creates because he wants to. And he also creates free will in Adam and Eve so that they're free to choose love. And God creates boundaries so that free will has a safe place to flourish. And that's a really important part of the story for us today. God wants to create boundaries and wants to give the life, but God does say, do this, and God does say, don't do that, because God knows that doing whatever you want to do may not be healthy for you. In fact, freedom is not being able to do whatever you want to do. Freedom Well, it's the freedom to choose that which is going to bring me authentic joy, happiness, and the life that God wants for me. Boundaries, like, they channel freedom. Boundaries don't limit freedom, they channel freedom. So God creates boundaries in the garden. So let's get back to the story. So Adam and Eve are in the garden, and in the garden, they're totally happy. They have everything that they need. They're perfectly happy. They're happy in a way that you and I can only dream of. They have everything they need because they're in God's will. They're in the boundaries. And here's what happens today, right? Temptation enters the story inside the form of the enemy, and the enemy speaks to Adam and Eve. And when the enemy speaks, his comments are subtle. They're seductive. And the enemy lures Adam and Eve into just beginning to question God. And right there, that's where things begin to unravel. And I want you to notice something, that when the enemy is speaking to Adam and Eve and kind of planting the questions within them, they don't take the questions to God. And this is really important for us, right? If Adam and Eve would have taken their questions to God, he would have spoke truth to them. But Adam and Eve are struggling. They try to do it on their own. And every time that you and I think, try to fix our life or manage our life or try to manage the questions about life all on our own, it usually leads us into mess. So as the story unfolds, right, they pick from the tree of knowledge, they sin. And as the story unfolds, today in the first reading, we hear, and I quote from the scripture, Adam, after Adam had eaten from the tree, the Lord God called the man and asked him, "Where are you?" Why is God asking Adam, "Where are you?" Because he's hiding. Adam responds, "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Let me say that again. Adam says to God, right? "I heard you. I know that it was you calling, but I'm afraid because now I know I'm naked. I am ashamed, and so I hid." He's hiding, and that's the pattern. And the reason Adam is hiding is because Adam is looking at himself, and he sees his shame. He sees the mess that he's made, and Adam thinks that God is looking at him the same way that Adam is looking at himself, right? So Adam is looking at the mess he made. He has this perception of who he is. He feels ashamed, and he thinks that's how God sees him. He thinks that God is ashamed of him. And then, of course, the pattern just unfolds even more. Notice what happens, right? So God reaches out to Adam. Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent, right? That's a classic pattern in a life. Whenever we're hiding or whenever we have mess and we don't like it, we're going to blame somebody, right? You're going to blame your husband. You're going to blame your wife. You're going to blame your kids. You're going to blame me. We don't know what to do with mess, so either we hide or we blame other people. And I think a lot of us struggle with that. I like a lot of us struggle from hide from people. A lot of us hide from God. Now, here's a fascinating question, though. And I think this is the question of the first reading today. And it's really revealing good news. When God asked Adam, "Where are you?" God's not asking for his geography. God is asking for his heart. Like, God doesn't need to know where Adam is. God knows where Adam is, and God knows why Adam is hiding. But God engages with Adam. He asks the question. God takes the initiative to re-engage Adam in the conversation. I think this is really important, right? Adam is ashamed. He's hiding because he's ashamed, and Adam thinks God is ashamed, right? So in love, pure love, God reaches out to Adam to start the conversation. God found Adam. God reached out to Adam. God took the initiative to meet Adam in his shame, in his mess, in his hiding, to prove to Adam that God doesn't look at him the way that he looks at himself. And that's good news for us because life is messy. We all know that, and we all have a tendency to hide from God in our mess. In fact, I could bet right now you are absolutely in touch in your heart right now with where your life is messy. And the good news for Adam is the good news for you, right? God wants to be with you in the mess. God reached out to Adam. God's reaching out to you and me right now. And we're going to find him in the messy places of our heart. God's speaking to you right now, if you just have a chance to listen. He spoke to us in the readings, and he's speaking to us right now. So what's one thing that we can do this week? Just one thing. We don't have to change the world this week. We don't have to fix your life. Just one thing that you can do this week. One thing. Just want you to ask a question, which is, why do you hide? Just look inside your heart. Just ask yourself, why do you hide? And actually ask yourself, how do you think God sees you when you're hiding? That's perhaps even the more important question, right? The question for you is, we all hide. We know that we hide. But how do you think God sees you when you hide? The wrong answer to that question, right? The wrong answer to how is it that God sees you will have a dramatic influence in your life. And the right answer to that question will have a dramatic influence in your life. One of the most influential things in your life is the way that you answer the question, how is it that God sees me in my mess? So life is messy. That's not going to change. We're always going to have a little messiness in our life. But imagine going through the rest of your life hiding from God when life gets messy, or imagine going through the rest of your life actually experiencing God in a personal way in your mess. Which one do you want? You want to go through the rest of your life hiding, or you want to go through the rest of your life free? Right now, when you look at your life, and what's messy, what do you want? Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts that are open. Send your Holy Spirit upon us this morning with a presence to the present moment. Help us to know you, to see you, to feel your presence in the midst of our messiness. Lord, anyone with us this morning who would want to run away from you, Lord, we give you permission right now to speak a word of truth to them. Give us the grace to see the truth of who you are on the cross, where you love us that much that you would give your life for all that is messy. Lord, the messy marriages that are here, Lord, heal messy marriages. Messy families that are here today, Lord, heal messy families. Messy hearts, those anybody in church today who just doesn't feel worthy of your love right now, Lord, be with them, speak truth to them. May your kingdom come and your will be done as you bless us today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.